there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle.
And you are listening to Oh My Word, a podcast where we review pop culture, movies, musicals, TV shows, and books, and give you an idea of what's in it. Is it age appropriate? Is it anyone appropriate? Should you read it? That's what we're here for, to help you out.
And our guide for all that is our pearl clutching rating of violence, language, and romance. Everything on a scale of 0 to 4. 0 being the bestest, and 4 being the don't get a 4 because that is not okay. And also because all these things, movies have their own ratings, but it's the film industry giving itself its ratings. And all the ratings have changed throughout the years. So that's why it's not about, you know, a PG-13 rating, but it's about giving you a 0 to 4 so you know what's in it. And then Books don't really have ratings, neither do musicals. So that's what we're here for.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Like PG-13, so these days, PG-13, if you can have one F word, right, in a PG-13 movie. Is that the rule?
Yeah.
Like, basically, the point is you have to know what the ratings mean. You can't just look at it, except for G, I guess, or X. Like, on either end, you can just look at it and say, this is okay or this is not okay. But in the middle, you sort of have to know what those ratings mean. And especially, like, TV shows, too, because TV, like, TV 7, TV 14, you know, what's do they deem appropriate for 7-year-olds and what do they deem appropriate for 14-year-olds? It might not be what you deem appropriate for a 7 or 14-year-old. I wasn't allowed to watch TV 7. Like, if a TV show had a rating, basically, it wasn't appropriate for me when I was a kid. Because, like, real kid shows just didn't have ratings.
Yeah. Well, and they've changed it. Like, they've now become more acclimated and more exposed to things. Even G, I don't know that you could trust, like, a G rating necessarily without really looking into what's in it. Or even PG. Like, what do they allow now? It's, you know, and they'll always slide stuff in and see what they get under the radar. Even the PG-13 that is supposed to be only one F-bomb. I think there was a film that we viewed a while ago that they somehow snuck in a second F-word there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, again, that's why you need us.
Yes.
That's what it all comes down to.
Public service over here. That's what we're providing. So, just a quick update. I still have not heard from Sutton Foster. I don't know if anyone else cares about that or if anyone else hasn't been sleeping or if it's just me. But we're still waiting because she is amazing. And I love her. And I just, you know, we're just looking for a shout out, you know, or like an autograph or like to be her best friend, you know, whatever. But still nothing. So we said we'd keep you updated and here's your update. And, you know, I'll let you know if and when I actually hear from her.
I totally forgot that was a thing. You know, sometimes being in our mother's basement the way we are, it's not just being secluded from the outside world, but just being secluded from our own worlds sometimes occurs. Sometimes being in the basement. We're not going to get into too much detail about that because that's not as important because that's just for us to figure out.
Yeah.
But what we'll figure out for you, speaking about people who are isolated sometimes and then they rejoin the real world, this kind of, it's not a great segue, but it kind of connects.
All right. I'll give it to you.
Hooray. Well, today we're talking about Cobra Kai, so.
Well, I guess you could say maybe not. Oh, I guess, yes, you're right. Isolated, because Johnny Lawrence is, like, isolated from the world, and the world keeps going, and he's sort of stuck in, like, 1984.
Like, he really is, though. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really, yeah.
Because he's, like, still depressed from losing that tournament in the first Karate Kid.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because on the one hand, it seems crazy to let a karate tournament dictate your whole life, but on the other hand, there are sometimes these defining moments after which everything else tumbles like a domino. So even if that thing isn't huge, it could set in motion so many negative things, which would then make you still bitter about it 30 some years later. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, Cobra Kai is the Karate Kid 30 years later. So we catch back up with Johnny Lawrence, who's grown up and has a son, but he's not married anymore, and he and his son are pretty much estranged. And we also catch up with Daniel LaRusso, who is married, has 2 kids, and a thriving used car, or he's a car salesman. He's a dealership.
Yeah, I think it's a new and used lot, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they both start karate dojos, and then there's a lot of karate fighting, which we will get to, which is why the violence, we gave it a 3.5 because, oh my goodness, there's so much fighting. And I said that recently. I was talking to my husband, and I said, you know, there's a lot of fighting in Cobra Kai. And he said, what did you expect from a TV show about karate? And I was like, yes, but it's all the time.
It's also somewhat vicious.
Yeah, it's also vicious, but they're just, like, they're in school, and all of a sudden someone starts a karate fight, or they're at the arcade, and people, like, this doesn't happen, and I know TV show is not real life, but the third season got to be a little bit too much karate for me, personally. Language is a 4. See, this is why you need us, because this is a teen show, but they drop in one of those nice little F words, and there you go, language is a 4, because the F word or the S word. Anyway, either way, the language is it's there. I mean, Johnny Lawrence calls the kids in his dojo everything. We'll talk about Johnny Lawrence more. Anyway, yeah, language is a 4. And then romance is a 3, because there's some kissing, and there's some people waking up in bed together. Thankfully, there are adults waking up in bed together, and not teens waking up in bed together, and we don't see them really doing anything. Nonetheless, there's also a ton of making out with teenagers. There's 2 girls that kiss. There's a girl that kisses multiple people. Another girl that also kisses multiple people. There's a lot of kissing.
Yeah. The whole thing is very soap opera-y.
Yes. It is pretty soap opera-y.
I think by the time I hit the third season, I was just watching it on fast forward. Because part of me wanted to see it, and a part of me was like, I can't deal with all this drama that's just being rehashed and rehashed and rehashed.
Yes, I do think the first 2 seasons, like, okay, let's talk about Johnny Lawrence for a second.
Okay.
Because he's a really fascinating character. So he comes back to town, or he's been in town the whole time. I can't remember. I saw the first season a while ago. But he's trying to rebuild his life, right? He had a marriage that failed. He had a kid who he's estranged from. He's trying to rebuild his life. The one good thing in his life was karate, so he's coming back to it. But the world is so different. And I'm not just talking about technology, right? Like cell phones and computers, which he has no familiarity with. But suddenly, girls are boys, and boys are girls. And there are certain things you can't say, and people have feelings, and you have to be sensitive to feelings. And so he's coming into a world that doesn't make any sense to him. And he's approaching it the only way he knows. And in some ways, it's very cool. Like, these kids who are bullied come to his dojo, and he's like, well, reorient your thinking. If someone's making fun of you for your lip looking weird, then go get a crazy hairdo and, like, just tell them to, you know, back off. So he actually does some really cool stuff for these kids. And I think the only reason he's able to give them that is because he still has, like, 80s or older fashioned ideas and ways of looking at the world. You know, like, instead, he's telling them to stand up to the bullies as opposed to teachers today who might tell everyone to sing Kumbaya or something. He's like, no, stand up for yourself, fight back when you need to. So he offers something that none of these kids don't get otherwise.
Right. Even though it is pretty, but yeah. Because then some of them become, in learning how to stand up for themselves, they then become the bullies. So, like, that's the philosophy gone wrong, but the philosophy gone right is when they use it more as a self-defense, sort of, like, to stop a bully cold. The most interesting thing that they did with Johnny is they give him that Miguel character, which is kind of how he gets back into karate. Even though I don't know how they could keep up. Right. He has to have been doing karate somewhere that 30 years later, he's still such a, you know, a sensei master, like,
yeah.
30 years later, all of a sudden he knows how to do karate. Like, no, you don't just come back. It's not riding a bike. Your body's 30 years older, but... That's okay. So he stands up for Miguel, and Miguel's like, oh my gosh, teach me how to do these things, or whatever. And that's when he starts the dojo. But him and the Miguel character are great because Miguel's like, they're the opposite of each other. And he's there to kind of like soften Johnny up and bring Johnny around again, while mm-hmm. Johnny is also making him stronger and more of a tougher character. So that you have. And also, Miguel is, I think, are they Mexican? There's some sort of, they escaped from somewhere, but I think maybe it was Mexico. Right. Oh. The husband, I think, was part of a cartel or his father was part of a cartel something. Like that. So that's why also, like, Johnny's trying, like, to his, like, unintentionally, like, racist things that he's saying are, like, and Miguel's like, I don't think we, like, we don't talk like that. Like, people don't speak that way anymore. And, like, he butchers Spanish, the way he does, even just like ordering like a taco. It's not, Johnny Lawrence doesn't just order a taco. Like he does something that it's, makes it awkward. But yeah. It ends up being that, you know, Miguel and it's Miguel lives with his mom and his grandmother. Like they really bring him into the family. They take care of him. They see how he's taking care of Miguel and what that means to him. So they actually set up a very good dynamic there, which is also why they're so much more interesting than Daniel LaRusso and his family. Because whatever kind of drama, whatever they're going through their family, you're almost like, you're not as interested. They're just not. Like,
no, it's much more normal family drama as opposed to what's going on with Johnny.
Yeah, the son's really annoying.
Oh, I don't know why he has to exist.
Yeah, I don't. And no, but if he is there, why does he have to be so annoying? Yeah, like, they really went overboard, making him super annoying. And then the daughter, Samantha, is like, it's funny because even like Daniel LaRusso calls her out that like she's dating somebody else like each time. And he's like, I can't keep up with who you're dating. And it's true. It's like, what is she like there? She's just there to like create. So that's where like the soap opera stuff comes in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, with Robin, first Miguel, and then with Romy, and then Miguel again. And who are you dating anymore? And like.
Well, that's why the first two seasons, especially the first season, but the first two seasons were really good because it was still about Johnny and Miguel and Johnny and Daniel and, you know, what are these dynamics 30 years later and who is this person who's basically plucked out of the 80s? How do they deal with the 2010s? So that was really interesting. But then, you know, like with any show, when it becomes popular and then people start to like certain characters and then it became about something else and they brought back John Kreese, which is cool. Like they keep on bringing back actors from the original movie, which is so
the person,
and then Daniel goes to Japan. So like it's very cool, but it totally became like this big out war, basically like a karate war between these different schools. And you look at it and you think, okay, you were learning karate. Like you go learn your school and we'll go learn our kind of karate. And then we'll meet at tournaments and the rest of the day we'll go about our lives. But it turns into this whole with Kreese, right? It becomes this, like it's their whole way of life, and he turns these kids in. He basically turns them into killers. I think the only reason nobody dies is because the TV show doesn't want anyone to die. I was fully anticipating someone dying. Because these kids just keep on attacking and attacking each other. Like, to what end? Like, what are you expecting to happen? If you keep on kicking this kid in the face, when do you stop? When he's passed out, or do you stop when he dies? Like, I was actually really surprised that. Like, where else does it end?
Well, it's also, okay, so the first two seasons, I think were done by YouTube, did that when YouTube was trying to get in on the streaming and TV thing. And then Netflix picked it up a couple years later, and then they started season three, and now they're doing season four. So you also don't get to a point where, you know, they're having the war or whatever, and you're like, does anyone really care about karate this much? And I'm not saying it for the people who do karate and they dedicate themselves, you know, karate's their thing, that's great, but do you really love karate to the point that you would go and like kick someone, like paralyze someone? Like that's how much you care about karate, like to that extent. It almost feels like for anybody who's not in the karate world, it feels a little bit much. Which again, you don't want to downplay it, especially because if there's good stuff that comes out of it, or if I'm like the karate is cool, but it does become too much, and you're also like, why does Daniel LaRusso, why does he care so much about what Johnny's doing? Like, why does he care, like, that he can't sleep at night because he started up Cobra Kai again? Like, who cares? Like, and he's like, no, it becomes, like, so personal to him. Like, why do you really, like, why are you, like, you have a nice family, you have a successful business, like, why do you care what Johnny's doing? Like, all of a sudden now you care, like, it just, so that's also part of it. It gets a little bit, And because it's the same characters, they have to keep rehashing the same feuds and the same arguments, same whatever. So that's also where it gets too soap opera. Like it's becoming a bit much because there's not enough other stuff moving the plot forward. So you get a lot about that. Now, the one thing that was really interesting was, I don't know that they necessarily did on purpose, but they kind of unintentionally ended up with this sort of messaging about how important a male role model can be in the lives of all these kids, because you have Miguel who's being brought up with a lot of love and a lot of care and a lot of attention by his mother and his grandmother. But you see the way he gravitates towards Johnny, who's teaching him, you know, how to defend himself and how to, and all this kind of stuff. And you see, it's a very different relationship that's there. And you see how close they become. It is kind of like a father-son relationship. And then you see Johnny's own relationship with his like stepdad, who's not really his stepdad kind of thing, and how messed up that is, and how he feels so messed up from it that he never had a proper father figure in his life. Right. And you see Daniel LaRusso, that he sees Mr. Miyagi was kind of his father figure, because he also never had his dad had died, right? That's, I think, why they moved or whatever. So you see that also. And then you see the way he tries to do that for Robbie, who's Johnny's kid. So Robbie tries to connect to Daniel also. It's like a father-son male role model thing that goes on there. And then you see, you know, because Johnny can't figure that out with Robbie, but Johnny figured out, so it is part of a soap opera, but it's actually a really interesting, like, element that's introduced there. Especially because you don't really see that kind of messaging so much. I don't call it messaging, but you don't really see that so much anymore. So it was kind of interesting to see that. Yeah, the dynamic. Because also, you also have Johnny and Kreese. That Kreese was sort of like Johnny's, male role model mentor sort of thing. And then when he rejects him after he lost one of the tournaments, right? And he's like, you're worthless and you're worth nothing and blah, blah, whatever. And how much it, like, broke him. So, like, yeah. Sure, it's a little bit much that his life went totally to ruin. Just because he messed up at the tournaments. But I guess that's the thing, that he made him feel like a loser. So his whole life was just loser mentality. And I was trying to be a winner again, or just not be a loser anymore. And he keeps messing up. It's like, why can't anything ever go right for me? So, yeah. But that also, that goes back to why Johnny's the more interesting character. But that is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I saw it, but it was an article I think maybe it was when the Cobra Kai first came out, that it's all about how Daniel LaRusso is actually the bad guy. If you think about it, he's like the new kid who moves into town. He starts fights. He takes a guy's girl. And he does all the things that you usually, like in the original Karate Kid, like all the things that you usually would attribute to, like, the bad guy. He's the good guy doing all these things, and he's the one we're supposed to be rooting for. So that's why also, even here, he's not, you kind of have this, Daniel LaRusso's supposed to be the good guy, but he does make a lot, like, he still make a lot of mistakes, and the way he's going after Johnny, and when Johnny's like, dude, I'm just trying to live, like, I'm not bothering you, like, just let me have my dojo, like, what do you care? And he's like, no, we must stop it.
Well, Johnny even mentions that at one point, like, he's talking to someone about how Daniel LaRusso was the bully to him, or how he felt it, because of all those things, like, I don't know if he took his girl or, like, his girl so much. I mean, it's not like she was an object. Like, she made the choice about who to be with. But, and it's obvious that...
Yeah. No, they broke up and she chose, yeah.
Right. And it's obvious that Johnny Lawrence and his gang were picking on Daniel, but also then, you know, Daniel's move and that thing, was it in a league? Anyway, you know, there's the two sides to the story. I think with Daniel's character, they just don't get quite all the way there, because he was the kid who was bullied, and but he's also a hothead. Like, that's always part of his character. But if they had shown, like, clearly his problem with Johnny starting Cobra Kai again is because it awakens in him the feelings of fear and whatever else he felt in high school. But maybe they just don't make that so clear about, like, what the issue is, because that would explain a little bit more the run-ins with Johnny,
it's 30 years later, like, get over it.
But the relationship doesn't grow. That's the thing. Like, they keep on almost trying to get along with each other, and I think if their relationship grew and they could, instead of the two of them always being at odds with each other, that the two of them, which finally happens, that they start to be on the same side, but I think it could come sooner, and that would maybe be, I don't know, maybe that would have been interesting, because they're, like, so close and they want kind of the same things. So,
well, yeah, Daniel, he's very judgmental of Johnny. Like, as soon as Johnny does something, instead of, like, trying to figure out, like, what it was, or maybe trying to get a full picture, he's automatically like, see, I always said he was bad news. And it's like, you totally got it wrong. And he doesn't, he's just always jumping to conclusions about Johnny. As if he wasn't the one who won. He's almost been like a sore winner almost. Like, you beat him in the tournament. Like, you don't have to keep pushing him down and pushing him down and pushing him down. And just, even if you do have these deep fears that 30 years later somehow you haven't gotten over, even though you have a beautiful family and you got a business or whatever, and somehow you still are scarred from this, you know. You're not a great person the way that you keep judging and judging and judging. And, like, just give Johnny a break. Like, why do you guys always... That also becomes part of the soap opera. Like, oh, they're fighting again. Oh, look, they couldn't keep the relationship anymore. Like, why do you guys care? Like, there's one scene where for 5 minutes they have something in common, and then they don't go back to that, like, oh yeah, I remember how I saw something important in him, which is usually what you see in film. Like, no, yes, there was a glimpse that I saw, so I'm going to hang on to that glimpse. Here it's like, no, all the externals are what we're going to keep going for. So that's why I ended up watching part of it and fast forward.
Fair enough. No, it definitely, it's good, but it does get a little bit too, like a lot of action movies generally, they start to rely on the action. Like, there has to be a big karate fight in every episode instead of the first few episodes of the first season, or maybe the whole first season, which really seemed to be so character driven. It became more like drama driven.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still good. And I would say of teen shows that we've seen, it's definitely up there, and not just for teens, like for adults. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in it. Also, Kreese.
I don't know if kids should see this. There's too much violence. She's purposely, when she breaks the guy's arm and they trash the house with the violence becomes a bit much.
Well, when I say kids, I'm really thinking teens. I mean, it is a lot of violence and the language is up there, but I just think compared with some other stuff that teens are seeing, there's a lot of interesting discussions that could be had about this. Like, what is the difference between Miyagi, Karate, and Cobra Kai, and Eagle Fang? The difference between Kreese and Johnny Lawrence and Dan, like all these different, and you know, bullying, and when is it okay to use physical force? It's so funny. So there's this huge fight in the school, and then there's parent teacher like forum, you know, where the school is talking about what they're gonna do about it. And there's this one, I think she's a teacher, like a vice principal or something. And she's just so stereotypical school administrator. And there's at one point when the Cobra Kai kids, so like the evil, I mean, they're basically evil kids because they're attacking kids for no reason. They attack some of the kids, some of the good kids, and then the good kids fight back, and the teacher only sees the fight back. And so the good kids get in trouble, and they're like, but they ruined our science experiment, and they did all these terrible things to us. And the teacher's like, we should all just try to get along, and the one kid is so sucking up to her, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you are the worst. You're just exactly what a school administrator, you're just the worst. And she's so annoying, but you know that there are teachers like that who are just like, well, but you both fought, so you're both in trouble. And just,
yeah, hug it out.
Like, they create some really real characters in terms of like what kids might actually be putting up with, and how, like, it's almost an interesting commentary on some of the thoughts that people hold today about how the world should work, but they're new thoughts and they don't all work. And then Johnny Lawrence comes along and sort of, like, you have Kreese, Johnny Lawrence, and Daniel LaRusso, right? And let's say Daniel LaRusso is more like how parents might be today. And Kreese is like, I beat my kid for talking in my presence. And Johnny Lawrence is sort of in the middle. He's like, I think there were some good things that we used to do, and there are some good things that we do now. And he's kind of trying to find the way that they fit together.
Yeah. I guess you could say that.
I think there's, maybe I'm looking too far into it, but I definitely think that there are things going on here that are very smart.
Yeah. Well, because also I think this happens in the first two seasons, that Johnny, the first season was all about no mercy, no mercy. And then he's like, he changes the creed to be like, it's not always no mercy. Like, sometimes we do have to show mercy. So maybe that also goes back to how it's a little bit more character-driven to show how Johnny does, like, hey, I brought back all these 80s, like, the 80s mantra, and I see now that they're not right. That's the more interesting thing, that everyone just, like, kicking each other in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I guess that's all we have to say about that.
That's all we have to say about that. That's right. Cobra Kai.
So, thank you so much for listening. Do us a favor, and do yourself a favor, really, and go to Instagram and find Oh My Word Podcast and follow us, because we'll tell you what books we're reading, and we'll share all our ratings for for our episodes, and
subscribe to us in all the places. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and leave, like, really star ratings, please, and then share with friends.
Yes, please. That would very much help us. And it'll help you because you're doing something nice. And when you do something nice, you feel good about yourself. That's just science.
Right.
So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and details, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Berg. See you next time.